Well, we are going to go to Acts chapter 10. Today's Sunday, May the 22nd, 2022, going to Acts chapter 10. And as Mark prayed, we do have reverence for the scriptures, recognizing that the scriptures, rightly understood, is God's word. And we celebrate Pentecost in 2 weeks. And over the past couple of weeks, we have been considering things in God's Word related to God's gift of Holy Spirit. And I mentioned last week that God's Word is not vague at all concerning spiritual matters, and especially when it comes to His gift of Holy Spirit. And this morning, we're going to read Acts chapter 10. There is a lot of information in Acts chapter 10, for those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, and you may have read it before, but we're going to just consider it. I'm obviously not going to point out every single thing in there, or we'd be here all afternoon, but I am going to point out some things, and it's a fantastic record. So, we begin in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared or reverenced God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, even though this man was not a Judean, wasn't of the house of Israel, the chosen people, he was a Gentile, which, when you read Gentiles, it just means all the other nations. So for a long time, it was Israel and all the other nations, no matter where you're from. But he is a Roman, part of the occupation. Maybe not the kind of guy you'd want to be friends with. You're occupying our land. He was obviously a very influential guy. He was a centurion, meaning he had charge over 100 soldiers. But even so, he reverenced God, and he was quite a giver, and he prayed consistently. So you just never know who. Yeah, I doubt if any Roman centurion's ever going to believe God's word. You never know. You just never know. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, God sent an angel to him and said, hey, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what you oughtest to do. If you're familiar with the ninth chapter, Peter is in Joppa. He had gone down there and did a wonderful healing, raising a lady from the dead. So the angel said, you have some guys go and get this guy by the name of Peter, bring him back. He's lodging with Simon, who's a tanner by the seaside. Interesting question would be, why didn't the angel talk to Cornelius and tell him all about Jesus Christ? It's right there. I'm sure he knows. But in this administration we live in now, it's our responsibility to speak. God has given us that great privilege to speak. So, verse 7. Did we read verse 4? Yeah. Okay, verse 7. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he told them what happened, he sent them where? To Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Not unusual to go onto the housetop back in those days. Roofs were flat, and people would go up there and pray, pray in the evening, pray whenever. So it's almost lunchtime. Peter's probably hungry. So he He went up to pray about the sixth hour, noon. And he became very hungry. Maybe he could smell the cooking. I don't know. And would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Ooh, people get all whacked out over that word trance. It's interesting, this word trance is much better translated amazement. In fact, it's translated, the same Greek word is translated in other places here in the Bible as amazed, amazement, astonishment. So what happened was, where it says he fell into a trance, an amazement came upon him. Something amazing. And we'll see a little bit later that this was a vision that God was giving him. So what did he see? Verse 11. He saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. That's quite a sight. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beast of the earth and wild beast and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Have a feast." Here's this guy praying. He's hungry. And he gets this vision. There you go. Kill and eat. But Peter said, "Oh, not me. Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And of course, in the Jewish law, there were certain things you did not eat. They were unclean animals. Didn't eat. So the vision, he's seeing all these animals. "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." "Oh, no, no. I don't eat anything that's common or unclean. I never have." And the voice spake unto him, verse 15, spake unto him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done three times. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. So after Peter said, "No, I don't eat anything. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. What God has cleansed, don't you call common or unclean." And then he heard it again. "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." "No, I don't know. What God has..." Rise. Three times he got this. Really interesting. Verse 17. "Now while Peter doubted in himself," and it's better translated perplexed. He was perplexed. Man, this was quite... And I would agree this was amazing. If you saw something like that, I think you'd be filled with amazement. Right? "While Peter doubted or was perplexed in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate." In the Bible times, you didn't knock on the front door. There would be a gate and you would call at the gate. "Hello, anybody home? Looking for Peter." "And they called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there." While, verse 19, "While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee." The Spirit, meaning the Spirit of God that he had in him. There are nine manifestations of Holy Spirit. From word of knowledge and word of wisdom, God communicated to him specifically and said, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." And that's certainly true, right? The angel told Cornelius, "Send some people to Joppa to find Peter. He'll come back and tell you the good news." So God not only gave Peter this amazing vision, now by revelation he's giving Peter some very specific information. You see the word doubting in verse 20? This was God's instruction. Go with them doubting nothing. The word doubting in the Greek means to separate, to discriminate, to make a distinction. You go with them with no discrimination at all. No separation, no distinction about anything. I want you to remember this word because it's going to come up again. So, Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius. He said, "Hey, I'm he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you're come? Why are you here?" They said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that fears or reverences God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned of God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house to hear words of you. Then he called them in, and he lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So Peter took some believers with him, took six guys. We'll find out later it was six guys. He said, you guys better come with me. This is different. We're going to go see Cornelius. And on the morrow, after they had entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. So he sends the two guys, or the three guys, to go and bring Peter back. While they're gone, he's telling everybody. He's texting his friends. You won't believe this. I got an angel that came to me. You know, he's just getting everybody together, you know. Verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet, showing great reverence, and worshiped him. And Peter said, kiss my ring. Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. You don't now bow down and worship me. We don't do that. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. There's a whole crowd. And he said unto them, you know, verse 28, you know how it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Aha. Now he knows what the vision's all about, right? And according to Old Testament law, a Judean does not go into a Gentile's house. You don't go in. You will become unclean. And we can begin to understand why there is so much detail in this record. This is the first record in the Bible of Gentiles receiving God's gift of Holy Spirit and manifesting. It's really such a fantastic record because it took the Judeans a long time to accept that salvation was available to all people, whether you were Jew or Gentile. And some of them never did quite get to that point. Peter said, God showed me. So that amazing vision that he saw that he was perplexed about, he now understood. Plus, back in verse 20, God told him, go with them, doubting nothing, not discriminating anything, just go. And he did. So God showed me, I should not call any man common or unclean. Verse 29. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent you have sent for me? So Cornelius said, well, you know what? 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. That'd be the angel. And said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he comes shall speak unto thee. I love verse 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and you have done well that you've come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? Tell us what God wants us to do. What a humble man. What a quality man. And you know, people who are hungry for the truth will have eyes to see, ears to hear, and will want to know. People that aren't will be like, well, that's nice. I'm glad that, you know, that helps you. You know, I'm glad that works for you. But people that are hungry want to hear more. What a wonderful man this guy is. So, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what country you're from, male, female, skin color, nothing matters with God. He's no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears or reverences him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. You know, it reminds you of John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, doesn't matter. And you can read in the epistle of Timothy that God would have all people to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. Peter goes on to preach the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Now, in order to be born again, saved, receive God's gift of Holy Spirit, two things. You must confess, as it says in Romans 10, confess the Lord Jesus, that he's Lord. He's Lord of all people who have ever lived. And Lord is a title. I think in the Spanish Bible, it's Señor, that Jesus Christ is the Señor. He's the Señor of all señors. He's Lord of all lords. So look what Peter's preaching. Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, we're in verse 37. I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, that is such a fantastic verse. You know, when it comes to healing, that's a great verse to remember. God does not send sickness to test you. Healing from God is available. Healing from God is his will. God sent Jesus Christ. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. There's the resurrection. In order to get born again, you must confess the Lord Jesus. And number two, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Look what Peter's sharing with him. Just like Peter did on the day of Pentecost, you can read in Acts chapter 2, right? Jesus is Lord. God raised him from the dead. Not to all the people, verse 41, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. He's alive. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, he's the one, which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which believed, the guys that came with Peter, were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Why were they astonished? Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why this is the first record of Gentiles receiving God's gift of Holy Spirit. And it was like, whoa! How did they know they had received Holy Spirit? The next verse tells you. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So here's this household at Cornelius' place, Peter's preaching, and these Gentiles get born again and manifest speaking in tongues. When anyone speaks in tongues, it is magnifying God. We learn from Acts chapter 2 that speaking in tongues is speaking the wonderful works of God. We learn in 1 Corinthians 14 that it is speaking to God. It's prayer. It's perfect prayer. And again, the reason they were so astonished was this is the first record of Gentiles, people from another nation besides Israel, receiving Holy Spirit. Look at how God brought this to pass. In the first century, on the day of Pentecost, it was all Judean people. 3,000 believed, and then go to Acts chapter 3, another 5,000 believed. There they were. But Jesus had said, you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So it's not really getting out to the Gentiles, is it? Apparently not, by Acts chapter 10 here. So, unlikely, Cornelius, a Roman centurion in Caesarea, just has a heart for the one true God. He's a giver. He prays a lot. God says, let's get this thing rolling. Sends an angel there, sends him to Peter. Peter goes to all the kinsmen and, you know, everybody's there. Bam, we got Gentiles. No wonder these guys were like, whoa, check this out. And keep in mind that the revelation to Peter was to go there without any discrimination. Okay. So verse 46 again, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, wow, this is fantastic. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? They've got the Holy Spirit just like us. Let's water baptize them too. Why not? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Verse 48 really literally would be, however, he prescribed baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ. And this becomes a little more clear when we continue reading into chapter 11. Now it gets a little interesting. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. If this wasn't the first time, then that verse wouldn't make any sense, would it? But now the leadership in Jerusalem is like, the Gentiles have received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, Peter's finally coming home, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. Why didn't they rejoice with him? We heard the Gentiles receive the word of God. Isn't this great? They didn't. It says they contended with him. The word contended is the same word I told you, remember, that was used before. It was translated doubting. Means to separate, to discriminate, to make a distinction. At this time in the early church, there was a lot of discrimination against the Gentiles, those from other nations. And as I said, some people never got over it. Verse 2 again, when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. Had some discrimination going on. And it explains it, saying, you went into men uncircumcised, and you ate with them. You sat down and ate with them. Oh, gosh, how could you do this, Peter? Why? Because it's against the Old Testament law. You don't go into a Gentile's house, and you don't even go in, let alone eat. You know, years later, the Apostle Paul would write, Christ is the end of the law. Christ fulfilled all of the law. You went in and you ate with them. How could you do this? But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them. Peter's like, cool your jets. Here's what happened. Listen to me carefully. Here's what happened. I was in the city of Joppa praying and in a trance, an amazement, I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended as it had been a great white sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, kill and eat, slay and eat. But I said, ho, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. I haven't even tasted it. Never had anything common or unclean. So he's telling him the vision that he had. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And here's the great verse in his explanation. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting, with no discrimination. You went in unto them, God told me to go with no discrimination. Isn't that cool? It's the third time that word's come up, not by accident. Moreover, not only that, fellas, these six brothers accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. It's a little more information about what the angel said. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. Don't you love that? Peter is referring to the day of Pentecost. And what happened on the day of Pentecost? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Peter is saying, these Gentiles received the Holy Spirit just like we did at the beginning. Wow. Now, what about baptizing them with water? Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So in all this excitement we read back in chapter 10, Peter's like, wow, this is fantastic. Let's get some water. Let's water baptize him. But we find out here, he goes, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said that John baptized with water, you'll be baptized with Holy Spirit. Here are these people that are born again and they are manifesting the Spirit. They're speaking in tongues. What's water going to do? No need. He says, verse 17, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? They got the gift, same gift that we got. What am I going to do with water here? Make sense? Sure. You know what changed his mind? The word that Jesus Christ spoke. That's what changed his mind. Verse 18. When they, this is the leadership there in Jerusalem, when they heard these things, they held their peace. Well, they must have stopped contending with him. Must have stopped saying, you win. They held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And you see why I say this is the first record of Gentiles receiving. They're like, wow, I guess it's open to everyone. The leadership in Jerusalem were in agreement that salvation and God's gift of Holy Spirit was indeed open to all the other nations. They were in agreement. Or were they really? If you keep your finger here, but go to Acts 15. Sometime later, as things progressed, look at verse 1 of Acts 15. Certain men which came down from Judea, from Jerusalem, taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Huh? What? How can that be? Did Peter go to Cornelius' house and go, okay, here's how it's going to work. Where's all the guys? We're going to take the guys into a certain room here and they need to be circumcised after the manner. No. He spoke God's word about Jesus being Lord. God raised him from the dead. They believed, they received, and they manifested Holy Spirit. What are these guys doing? And if you are familiar with Acts 15, this led to what's called the Great Council in Acts 15, where all the leadership came together. Paul and Barnabas came down from Antioch, and they're going to have a big meeting and discuss this. And in verse 6, when they got together, verse 6 of Acts 15, the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, I think this, no, this, Peter rose up and said, all right, everybody, be quiet. Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. How did God make choice? God sent him to Cornelius' house, remember? And God, who knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. And look at this. Put no difference. That's that same word again. No discrimination between us and them. Purifying their hearts by not the law, by faith or by believing. Isn't it interesting that that word comes up four times in reference to that whole incident of Peter going to Cornelius' house? No discrimination. No discrimination. We're not better than they are. They're not better than we are. We all get the same thing. You know, God's word says that it's all in all. Not some in part, part in some, but all in all. God's gift is the same gift to every single person. This was a little hard for them to take. So we're going to close in back in chapter 11. Read this verse one more time. It's quite a record in Acts 10, isn't it? And now you begin to see why God took so much space, so many verses. It was huge. Gentiles, let's get the word to the world. That's God's desire. He would have all people to be saved. And so, verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. It would appear they were in agreement at this point. How deeply they were agreed, I don't know. Who could argue? With what Peter shared with them, who's going to argue? He had this amazing vision. God told him to go. Witnesses went with him, and the people in Cornelius' household spoke in tongues. What are you going to say to that? So they were all, okay, God has given, yes, that's great. It would take the most unlikely person to bust through the walls of discrimination and bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And God would give that man specific, detailed revelation concerning a secret that God had, which in the Bible is called the mystery. And the mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers together of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's the great mystery, and that's what we're going to look at next week, 1 week before Pentecost. We'll take a little review of the mystery next week. So, Father, thank you for your wonderful word, and Father, the great detail in your word to show us that there's no discrimination, that we are all of us that are born again, have the same spirit, have the same blessings, the same rights and privileges. Thank you, Father, for what a wonderful Savior we have with Jesus Christ, who paid the price for us, and that he truly is our Lord and Savior. And Father, we certainly anticipate his return back, but until then, thank you for all that you've given us, and most especially your wonderful gift of Holy Spirit, and that, Father, we can continue to believe what your word says and operate and manifest that wonderful gift in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.